Well, as Shannon mentioned, we are starting a new series today, and it's good to begin with that foundation, but I want to start by actually introducing the series by talking about something that I love to do, and that's backpacking. Anybody else love to backpack? Yeah? A little bit. I love to backpack for a few reasons, and I mean, whether it's just an overnight trip or a 2 or 3 day trip or like a week long trip, I love to backpack first because partly I'm a gearhead. And so that means like I love the preparation part of backpacking where you get to think through, do I need a new tent and do I need a new sleeping bag, 0 degree, 20 degree, negative 20, like, and just go into REI and have an excuse to buy something new and just planning for a backpacking trip. I love that part of it. I also love going with groups of people, with friends or family, where you can just sit around and talk and there's just bonding that takes place when you're backpacking because things happen out in the woods that don't happen anywhere else. And like, it's just this shared experience when you're backpacking. But I also love just the outdoors. I mean, just being in nature. There's something about the scenery, seeing everything that God has made that just makes backpacking so fun. But maybe more than all of those reasons, I think I love to backpack the most because every time I go, it's like a wilderness journey. I mean, there's a sense where you can just get away from everything. You can unplug, you can put your phone and your email and your computer in the city, and you can leave all that behind, and you can get out into the wilderness where you have time and space to think and to reflect and to process, and you're not sheltered from the elements, and you're a little bit more dependent on God and His provision, and you can just gain a bigger and broader perspective. There's something about the journey, and you might have it all mapped out. You might know what your destination is, but you never know what's going to happen around every turn. You never know what things are going to be like, and there's just something raw and healthy and life-giving about that kind of wilderness journey. Well, I share that because, interestingly, in the Bible, several wilderness journeys like this are described as well. And I don't mean wilderness journeys for like 2 days or 3 days or 7 days or 14 days. I mean like 40-day wilderness journeys. The book of Exodus tells us that Moses went out into the wilderness of Mount Sinai for 40 days to make space to get away and to hear from God. And it says during those 40 days, he even fasted from all food and all drink so that he could focus all of his attention and all of his energy totally on hearing from God. The book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament also tells us that the prophet Elijah did the same thing. He went for a 40-day wilderness journey. And he also fasted from food so that this hunger that he would have during those days, he would have, it would be symbolic of a spiritual hunger he had as well to get away from everything and to hear from God in his life. And then, of course, in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell us that Jesus did the same thing. He took a 40-day wilderness journey. He went out into the wilderness to get away from everything. This was before he preached his first sermon, before he healed his first person, before he began his public ministry. As a way to prepare for that, he went out in the wilderness, and it says, too, that he also fasted from food during that time. And God met him there. God met him in the wilderness. And he experienced God's presence, and it prepared him for all the challenges that lay ahead in his life. Now, I share all that because here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to extend an invitation for you and for all of us in our community of faith to go on a 40-day wilderness journey together in the next few weeks. Now, I'm not talking about a backpacking trip, as much as I would love to do that. Maybe we'll plan a trip again for this summer. But I'm talking about what has historically been called Lent. Now, if you're not familiar with Lent, let me tell you a little bit about it. Lent is not what you find in your dryer. It is, but that's Lent, L-I-N-T. Lent, L-E-N-T, is actually a season of 40 days that Christians have observed in the springtime, right before Easter, the 40 days leading up to Easter. They've observed this for centuries and centuries. In fact, the word Lent comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word which meant length, and it referred to the springtime when the days we're lengthening and getting longer. And so this always takes place in the 40 days before Easter. And historically, Christians have observed Lent for a couple of reasons. One, they see it as a journey with Jesus towards the cross. And so as they prepare themselves for what we're going to celebrate on Easter, when Jesus died on the cross, as we talked about today, and then he rose from the grave, Christians prepared themselves for that week and what they would talk about and what they would reflect on and think about that week by taking 40 days leading up to it and almost journeying with Jesus toward the cross. Another reason that Christians have done this thing called Lent is also in the spirit of Moses and Elijah and Jesus. It's like a way to get away from everything, to make some changes in your life, to change some habits, to make new space to hear from God during those 40 days and see what he might have to say to them. And so, that's what Lent is all about. It starts on Ash Wednesday, which is this Wednesday. Easter actually comes early this year. It's on March 31st. So this is kind of early, but Lent starts on Ash Wednesday and it goes all the way through Easter. Now, let me say something for a second. Some of you might be here and you might be familiar with this. Maybe you come from a Roman Catholic background or a Lutheran or an Anglican church background where you actually celebrate this. And when I mentioned Lent, it like sent shivers through your body because like you've got bad memories associated with this. And it's like sacrifice. And it's this thing that you're just, it's like this ritual that is just strange or weird. And it's a bad thing to you. You've got bad connotations with it. We get that. I get that. Maybe you're here and you're like me and you grew up in a church tradition where that was something the Catholics did. And, you know, that was the weird thing. And that's they ate their fish during Lent and they did that thing. And it was this ritual and you kind of looked down on them because of that. Or maybe you never heard of it until you got to college and you saw people walking around with like stuff on their forehead and you walked up to like rub it off. And they're like, no, those are ashes for Ash Wednesday because that's what some people do. They put... That's what it's called, Ash Wednesday. They put these ashes on their forehead to mark the beginning of Lent. And it was the first time, and it was strange, and you didn't understand. Or maybe you're here like a lot of people at our church and in our community, and you didn't grow up going to church at all. And so this is kind of, maybe you've never even heard of Lent, or you've just heard the word, but you never knew what that meant or what that was all about. Whatever your background is, whatever assumptions you bring to this, when I started mentioning the word today, or lack of assumptions you bring to this, I want to ask you to be willing to take your thoughts or your notions or your assumptions and set them aside. And would you be willing to simply say this today? Would you be willing to simply say, I'm open to giving this a try, so tell me a little bit more about it? Would you be willing to say that? Okay. Let's say it then. Together. Come on now. I'm open to giving this a try. Now tell me what I've signed up for. Sneaky how I got you to nod and then you had to say it together. So here's the deal. Let me tell you what Lent is all about. If Lent's a 40-day, if it's like a 40-day wilderness journey, the best way to describe Lent is to say that it's about giving up and taking up. It's about giving up and taking up. And that actually happens on three different levels. And that's what we're going to focus on for the next few weeks together. So let me explain this and unpack it a little bit. First, Lent takes place, the giving up and taking up first takes place on the very tangible level. It's giving up and taking up tangible things. Now, if you've heard anything about Lent, you know that oftentimes Christians or people give something up during Lent. This is the thing that most people have heard of. You may have heard the question, you know, what are you going to give up for Lent? And historically, that's actually been food. I mean, in the spirit of Moses or Elijah or Jesus, it's fasting from food during Lent. Now, not many people do the full, you know, full on, no food, no drink for 40 days, but they might give up a meal every day. I'm going to give up lunch every day during Lent. I'm going to fast from lunch. Or I'm going to give up meat. That's a historical one. Or red meat, and so we're just going to eat fish. Or I'm going to give up sweets and desserts or some form of food like that. Or one year, I actually gave up all drinks except water, which, I mean, it's not much of a sacrifice. I mean, come on, still got water, and it's not much of a sacrifice. And yet there was something about it that if you think about that for a second, it's like every single time throughout the day that I got thirsty, I was reminded of what I'm doing. Every single time that I went out with friends and everybody was ordering, you know, Cokes and sweet tea and everything else, like I had to get my water, like I had to remember what this was all about. Every single morning that I woke up and I was craving coffee, I had to remember that I'm doing this thing, and it's symbolic of a greater thirst that I have, a greater hunger that I have to hear from God in my life. And so that's what the giving up of something is all about. Now, some people give up something other than food. They might give up the internet for 40 days. Maybe you use the internet at work and there's ways that you have to use it, but maybe it's giving up all non-essential uses of the internet, or maybe you're on Twitter or Facebook all the time, and I've heard of people giving up Twitter and Facebook for 40 days, or maybe shopping, maybe buying things. Maybe there's something in your life, and here's the deal. It's not that any of these things are evil. It's not that food is not bad for us. It's not that they're sinful. It's not that they're bad. But it's that there's so many things that can become overly important in our life that to say, okay, I'm going to go through a season where I'm going to take that out, I'm going to give that up, and I'm going to intentionally choose to not do this thing. It makes space. It opens yourself up to hearing from God in a new way. It helps us to refocus, to recalibrate our priorities by giving up something that maybe we've become a little too dependent on. So it's giving something up, but it's also taking something up. Maybe there's something to replace what you're giving up. It could be as simple as what I'm going to take up during Lent is I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to read the Bible for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Or maybe you don't pray very much. What I'm going to take up during Lent is praying 3 times a day at, you know, this time, and this time. Or I'm going to take up exercising. Or I'm going to take up a walk. Every afternoon, I'm going to take 15 minutes. I'm going to go walking outside by myself without anyone else, silent, without my phone, without anything. What is it that you could take up? What's a new habit or a new practice or a new discipline that you could actually take up? It could be really simple during Lent that has the same purpose, that makes space in your life, in your mind, in your heart, to hear from God or experience God in a new way. So it's giving up and taking up very tangible things. Now, some of you, like, you really get into this. Like, you're like the goal-setting kind of person, and like, just give me a list, and I'll tear right through it, and I'll check off every single day. And like, you've, even if I started talking, you've already started thinking about things you might give up or might take up, and you're coming up with a list and prioritizing them. If that's you, great. But let me just give you a couple of suggestions. Number one, don't go overboard. Don't like run out of the gates. I'm going to give up all food and all drink for 40 days because Jesus did it and I'm going to be like Jesus. Like, just for our liability insurance company's sake, I am not encouraging you to do that. So don't pick something that's like you're going to run out of the gate and then fall flat on your face in 2 or 3 days. On the flip side, pick something that's going to be a little bit of a challenge for you. Pick something that's going to push you outside of your comfort zone a bit. If you eat a Snickers candy bar once every 2 weeks, don't give up Snickers candy bars for Lent. Like, don't take up paying your bills on time for Lent. Like, I mean, don't take up something that you should already be doing, or give up something that you should already be giving up. Give up something, take up something that's out of the ordinary. That's going to challenge you, that's going to make some new space in your life in an intentional way so that you can hear from God, experience God in a new way. Now, we thought you might need a little help thinking through this, and so here's what we have done. We've put together a calendar called the Lent 2013 Experiential Calendar. And we're going to give every single person one when they're walking out. And it tells you a little bit about what giving up and taking up is all about. And then there are suggestions every single day of things that you could give up or take up that day. And even if you've already decided there's something specific you're going to give up or take up, we still want you to take one of these and consider putting it on your refrigerator or somewhere that you're going to see it. And every single night before you go to bed, look at it and what it says about the next day. Or when you get up first thing in the morning, look at it and see what it says. And then consider doing it. And don't just consider doing it. And don't just say, well, I'll do the ones that are easy, but the ones I don't like, I'm not going to do those. Say, yeah, you already said it. You said you're going to give this a try. So I'm going to hold you to that. Take this. And some of them are going to be easy. Some of them will be hard. One of them is don't use any sarcasm today. Some of us, that might be a challenge. Could you go through a whole day without being sarcastic at all? What would it be like all throughout the day? Every time you want to make a snooty comment about somebody, or you want to be sarcastic or whatever, that you just stop and that, oh, I'm giving that up today. What does that do in our hearts and in our attitudes if every single day we wake up with an intention of I'm going to give something up and I'm going to take something up today to make space to experience God in a new way? So take this calendar when you get home. And wouldn't it be cool if we're all doing this together? If there's a community of 100 or 150 people that are all have these calendars on their refrigerators, and you can think we're all doing this together, and other people are struggling with sarcasm today, just like I'm struggling with it, and yet we're trying it, and we can talk about it, and we can share with our friends and people in our missional communities what God is teaching us through the practice of giving up and taking up. So on the very first initial level, giving up and taking up is about tangible things. But there's a second level. There's a second level. Giving up and taking up is about deeper things. You see, it's not really about giving up sweets for 40 days or giving up shopping for 40 days. I mean, if you get to the end of the 40 days and you've lost like 5 or 10 pounds, And you realize you don't really need those sweets in your life, and you make some long-term changes, or you realize, wow, I surf the internet all the time, and just taking that out of my life like created so much space, and I learned some things, and so I'm going to set some new boundaries. Like, if there's some of those things that happen as a result of Lent, that's great. But that's not the main goal of Lent. That's not the main goal of giving up and taking up these tangible things. You see, giving up and taking up these tangible things pave the way or open the door for giving up and taking up some deeper things. Because the truth is, there's some attitudes that we all probably need to give up. There's probably some new attitudes we need to take up. There might be some anger you need to give up. There might be an addiction that you need to give up. That isn't just about the thing. It's not just about what you eat. It's not just about the money you spend. It's about a deeper issue of what's going on in your heart. The attitude or the thoughts or the disposition that leads to those things. And so, for the next 6 weeks in this series, we're going to spend every single Sunday talking about some deeper things that we need to consider giving up, and some deeper attitudes and dispositions. Not just the external tangible things, those are helpful, but the external tangible things just open up the door for us to begin to consider the internal, deeper things where God is teaching us new ways of following Him. So giving up and taking up tangible things, I think we can all do that. We've got a little calendar to help you out. Giving up and taking up deeper things, I think God's going to probably challenge all of us in some ways if you take on this experiment. But there's a third level of giving up and taking up. And for all of those who, those of us who follow Jesus, I think this is where Jesus is ultimately taking us, not just in the 40 days of Lent, but in the journey of our lives. And the best way to explain it is to read a few words that Jesus shared. Listen to what Jesus shared with his followers one day. This comes from Luke chapter 9, and we'll put it on the screen. Then Jesus said to them all, He was speaking to his disciples. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny or give up themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? So what Jesus is saying is that anyone who wants to be his disciple, and that's, I'm guessing, all of us. I mean, wherever you are in your journey of faith, however you would characterize or describe what your faith is, he's saying for anyone who wants to follow me, and the word disciple is very church or religious sounding, it just simply means student or learner or follower. Anybody who finds something compelling about me or thinks they can learn from me and is interested in learning from me, anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, give up themselves, and then take up a cross. Now, this is what we would call, and this is what they called back then, a hard teaching of Jesus. Because the cross is a religious symbol for us now, and it's associated with religious and spiritual things. But the cross for them was a place of execution. Jesus was literally saying, I am on a journey to Jerusalem where people are going to arrest me, and they're going to try me, and they're going to beat me, and then they're going to kill me. I am on a journey towards that cross. And so what I'm asking you to do is be on a journey with me. And so while I am literally and physically moving towards this cross where I'm going to die, I'm asking you symbolically and figuratively to also be on a journey where you are taking up a cross with me and you're dying to yourself. Now, that's the heart of Lent. Because as you give up and take up some very tangible things, I think it's going to pave the way for us to be challenged to give up and take up some deeper and more significant things, which ultimately leads us to giving up ourselves and taking up the cross to follow Jesus. And that's the journey, not just of 40 days in Lent, but that's the journey of life. That's what it means to follow Jesus. From the very first step you take to the very last step you take, he says, take up your cross daily. That means you kind of keep doing it over and over. It's not something that just happens once. Your whole life is about giving up and taking up. Now, here's what I think the good news is in all of this, as sacrificial and difficult and hard as that sounds. I think that God wants every single one of us in this room to have the most meaningful and fulfilling life possible. I really believe that. I don't think God wants us to have the happiest life possible. I don't think God wants us to have the richest life possible. I don't think God wants us to have the most comfortable life possible. But I do think he wants us to have the most meaningful and fulfilling life possible. And the truth is, I think all of us want that as well, right? I mean, we want that, don't we? I mean, we want to have meaning in our lives. We want to go to work and accomplish great things. We want to lay down at night and sleep well because it's been a good day. We want to have good and meaningful friendships where we have meaningful conversations. We want to raise our kids with meaningful experiences. We want our life to have meaning and fulfillment. And that's what God wants too. That's what he created us for, to have the most meaningful and fulfilling lives possible. And so it's almost like Jesus in this moment, he says, look, if you want to have that kind of life, a meaningful and fulfilling life, and sometimes he uses the word eternal. If you want to have eternal life, abundant life, life that's meaningful and fulfilling, then you have to give up some things that are going on in your life right now. Because you have embraced some things, you're living out some things, you have some things in your life that are working against that. And you're holding on to those things. And so you have to give up some of your anger. You have to give up some of your busyness. You have to give up some of your laziness. You have to give up some of your gossiping. You have to give up some of your complaining. You have to give up holding a grudge. You have to give up some of the ways you spend your time, some of the ways you spend your money, because you're holding on to all those things, but those are working against you having the life that I made you to have. And it's, what good is it to hold on to all those things? What good is it to have all of those things if you lose the life that I created you to have? If you lose your very self, the very person that I made you to be? And so he says, you need to give up those things. And when you begin to see it like that, giving up those things isn't a sacrifice. It's actually an investment in the kind of life we all want. It's not a sacrifice anymore. It's not a step away from what we want. It's a step towards what we want. But sometimes it means dying to ourselves, giving up ourselves, giving up some of the things that we're holding on to. And in about 40 days, we're going to enter into what is called Holy Week. And at the end of that week, on Good Friday, we're going to remember what Jesus did on the cross, how he ultimately gave up his entire life for us. And then guess what? 2 days later, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. We're going to celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. And we're going to celebrate how sometimes death leads to life. And it's going to remind us that if we're willing to give up some of these things, if we're willing to die to some of these things, if we're willing to die to some of our own selfishness and our own selfish desires, it's actually God's pathway, journey for us towards new life. That's what death and resurrection is all about. Now, maybe that all still seems a bit fuzzy. Maybe that's a bit theological or abstract. And it doesn't make full sense in your mind yet. That's okay. We've got 40 days to work through it and work it out. And so this has basically been an introduction to what we want to invite you to do with us during the season of Lent. Now, let me give you a few practical suggestions about what's going to happen going forward. On Wednesday, it's Ash Wednesday. We're not going to have any special service or anything like that here, but what we would ask you to do is take the next 2 days, today and then Monday and Tuesday, to simply pray or to simply think or to ask God, hey, God, what should I give up during Lent? What should I take up during Lent? Is there something specific? And if you really want to be vulnerable, ask a friend. Ask someone that knows you well. Hey, you know me really well. You kind of see what my life is like. Is there anything you would suggest I should give up? I'm trying this thing. We're trying this thing together where we're all going to try to give up something and take up something real practical, real tangible in our lives. I've even got this calendar, and you know. But you know, is there something specific that you would suggest I should consider giving up? Is there something specific you would suggest I would consider taking up? And then by Wednesday, make a decision and then just do it. Just commit to it. Say, I'm going to do it for these next 40 days. Now, you don't have to boast or brag about it. You don't have to tell us on Facebook everything the sacrifices you're making every single day. But it doesn't hurt to talk to friends about it. It doesn't hurt to share throughout this process with other people what you're learning, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, whether it really is making space, whether sometimes it does feel like a wilderness journey. I'm doing these things, but he said I would hear from God, but I'm not hearing from God, and so what's going on? That's okay. That's what this is about. Let's do it together. Lent is 40 days long. It starts this Wednesday. Actually, if you were to count up the days, you'd realize from here until Easter Sunday, it's more than 40 days, and that's because the early Christians believed that Lent was about fasting and giving things up, and Sundays are still about feasting and worshiping and celebrating God and what he's doing. And so Sundays are still feast days, and on the calendar we've put together, we've put some suggestions for what to do on those days. But give it a try. Let's maybe do all this together and see what God would teach us and where he would lead us as a community of faith. Next week, we'll come back and we'll talk about a specific issue and we'll go from there. Let me pray and then we'll close by singing a song together. God, it would be easy to take on a task like this in the same way we take on New Year's resolutions, to be excited and to make some resolutions and then just see them peter out or stumble, or if we forget one day, that's okay. We know you're not mad at us. You're not upset with us. This isn't about earning points with you. This isn't about something we're doing to check off a list or for you. It's because we just want to hear from you. And for some of us, it's been a long time since we feel like we've heard from you. Or we've gone through a tough season or a tough last year where we just don't know if we hear from you anymore. Or we don't know what your will is for our life. Or we don't know where you're leading us. And so, God, we want to make some space over the next 40 days or so. And just like faithful believers in the past have called on your name, have worshiped and called on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and sought you out to hear from you, we call on you as well. And we pray that you would meet us in this space, you would meet us in this season, and you would reveal yourself to us. Pray this in your name.